You are listening to a sermon by Kevin Hebert, recorded on Sunday, December 8th, 2019 at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
I'll start with a news report. Researchers say that science is still decades away from producing robots that can approximate the cruelty and malice of their human creators. Even with the prevalence of military drone strikes, robots are entirely reliant on human involvement to carry out brutal acts of senseless violence. It is difficult to deploy robots in creative savagery, which humans excel at, says Dr. Vladimirovich, lead researcher at Cruel Lab. Currently, humanity's most advanced artificially intelligent robots can be placed side by side with small defenseless creatures without even bothering to torture, maim, or kill them, an action that comes naturally to most young children, especially boys. Adorable bunnies, squishy frogs, even gross bugs, every single one of these creatures was left unscathed in our tests, said Dr. Vladimirovich. Still, given the exponential growth of artificial intelligence, it's only a matter of time before robots will match and then outpace humanity's vicious savagery. First, robots will start by creating passive-aggressive tweets. Then they will replace your average car insurance adjuster, corporate lawyers, driver's license testers, and technology managers. I adapted that joke from an August 2016 article in the parody website, The Beaverton, entitled, Robots Still Decades Away from Perfectly Mimicking Human Cruelty. Well, now we're 3 years closer. My sermon title, Love Not Laws, makes use of the acronym LAWS, which stands for Lethal, Autonomous, Weapons, Systems. As a play on words, to make you think that my topic was based on Acts 5:29, in which Peter and the other apostles said, we ought to obey God rather than men. C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, quote, I think all Christians would agree with me if I said that though Christianity seems at first to be all about morality, all about duties and rules and guilt and virtue, yet it leads you on, out of all that, into something beyond, unquote. I would argue that something is to love your neighbor as Jesus commanded in Matthew 22:39. So not condemning killer robots would be as inconsistent with that instruction as allowing landmines or chemical weapons, both of which are more or less effectively banned by treaties already. Why should we care about treaties that try to minimize unconscionable casualties in what feels like an endless series of senseless wars? In Romans 15, 5-6, we heard it read, May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Campaign to Stop Killer Robots explains on its international website at stopkillerrobots.org that it's a coalition of 129 non-governmental organizations in 60 countries working to preemptively ban fully autonomous weapons and thereby retain meaningful human control over the use of force. Some people call remote-controlled vehicles robots, but the fully autonomous ones are just given an objective and a set of parameters to operate within, and then they steer and fire on their own. The five Canadian members of the campaign are currently 1, Mines Action Canada, which is also a member of the Global Steering Committee, 2, the Canadian Unitarians for Social Justice, 3, Engineers Without Borders Canada, 4, Manitobans against indiscriminate weapons, and 5, Project Plowshares. During the UN General Assembly, First Committee on Disarmament and International Security in New York in October, Namibia added its name to the list of 30 countries that are seeking to prohibit fully autonomous weapons. Less than 10 countries have expressed firm opposition to a new treaty. What's the big deal, given how advanced and destructive modern weapons of warfare already are? Well, number one, fully autonomous weapons would decide who lives and who dies without further human intervention, which crosses a moral threshold. As machines, they would lack the inherently human characteristic, like compassion, that is necessary to make complex ethical choices, such as evaluating the proportionality of an attack, distinguishing civilian from combatant, and abiding by other core principles of the laws of war. They could be used in other circumstances, such as suppressing protests. Levels of force intended to be non-lethal could still cause many deaths. Number two, robots could make tragic mistakes with unanticipated consequences that could inflame tensions further. Military leaders can make mistakes too, but it's unclear who, if anyone, could be held responsible for unlawful acts caused by fully autonomous weapons. The programmer, the manufacturer, or the commander who decided to deploy them. This accountability gap could make it difficult to ensure justice, especially for the victims. While the campaign doesn't call for it specifically, there is an ethical open source programming license proposed by Coraline Ada Emke, which is equivalent to the doctor's Hippocratic Oath, called the Hippocratic License. The license, described at firstdonoharm.dev, says that its software may not be used by anyone for systems or activities that actively and knowingly endanger, harm, or otherwise threaten the physical, mental, economic, or general well-being of other individuals or groups in violation of the United Nations Universal Declaration on Human Rights. Number three, the US, Israel, South Korea, Russia, and the UK, who've all indicated their opposition to a treaty on this, are developing weapon systems with significant autonomy in the critical functions of selecting and attacking targets. Also worrisome is that China says that its call is to ban the use of fully autonomous weapons, but not their development or production, presumably so that they can sell units to non-signatories. If left unchecked, the world could enter a destabilizing robotic arms race. If you're familiar with the Terminator franchise, starting with the 1984 movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, you understand the dystopian speculation of a future in which machines take over the world as an artificial intelligence named Skynet tries to annihilate humanity. Our fear of killer robots run amok is no less scary than the threat of annihilation by nuclear weapons. 2 years ago, Pope Francis openly denounced the continuing possession of nuclear weapons by various world governments. I think there are many points of correlation and lessons to be learned about the dangers of lethal autonomous weapons from our experience with nuclear bomb and missile technology, and the madly expensive logic of the best defense is a good offense, which prompts ever higher investments in more expensive and more deadly weaponry. Pope Francis said at that Vatican conference on nuclear disarmament in November 2017 that, quote, humanity cannot fail to be genuinely concerned by the catastrophic humanitarian and environmental effects of any employment of nuclear devices. If we also take into account the risk of an accidental detonation as a result of error of any kind, the threat of their use, as well as their very possession, is to be firmly condemned. He went on to say, international relations cannot be held captive to military force, mutual intimidation, and the parading of stockpiles of arms. Weapons of mass destruction, particularly nuclear weapons, create nothing but a false sense of security. They cannot constitute the basis for peaceful coexistence between members of a human family. 2 months ago, seven Catholic anti-nuclear activists, known as the Kings Bay Plowshares Seven, were convicted of breaking into and vandalizing government property on April 4th, 2018, the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination. They cut through a fence and entered the Kings Bay Naval Submarine Base in Georgia, home port for six Trident nuclear submarines, where they poured bottles of their own blood onto military plaques and hammered statues of nuclear missiles. At trial, the activists were allowed to explain their religious beliefs and their positions suggesting the immorality of nuclear weapons, which are capable of omnicide, the killing of all human life on the planet, in the case of the military deterrence strategy known as mutual assured destruction. Martha Hennessy was able to speak of the Catholic social teaching she learned from her grandmother, Dorothy Day, and her belief that, quote, we, our country, many countries, replace God with these weapons. We don't put our trust in God. We need to study Christian teachings. It is idolatry to trust these weapons. 2017 marked the 50th anniversary of Pope Paul VI's encyclical Populorum Progressio, which proposed that the world's government set aside a portion of their military spending for a global fund to relieve the needs of impoverished people. Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Vatican Secretary of State, said at the time, quote, is it not plain to everyone that such a fund would reduce a need for those other expenditures that are motivated by fear or stubborn pride? Countless millions are starving. We cannot approve a debilitating arms race. U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower and former Allied Supreme Commander in World War II said in a speech in 1953, quote, every gun that is made signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed, unquote. In Isaiah 11, we heard it read about the long-expected Messiah, that with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And in Psalm 72, may he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. Clearly, God has in mind the flourishing of all people with justice and mercy. At a recent wreath-laying ceremony at the Atomic Bomb Hypocenter Park in Nagasaki, Japan, Pope Francis said, in a world where millions of children and families live in inhumane conditions, the money that is squandered and the fortunes made through the manufacture, upgrading, maintenance, and sale of ever more destructive weapons are an affront crying out to heaven. Cardinal Peter Turkson, prefect of the Vatican, said, quote, true security is not found in the size of our military or the number of weapons we possess, but when every human need for food, for housing, for health care, for employment and dignity is met, that is when we begin to fashion peace, unquote. A successful example that the campaign to stop killer robots can follow is the Ottawa Treaty, which since 1999 has banned anti-personnel landmines. Over 80% of the world's countries are covered, while the international campaign to ban landmines is still trying to convince 32 non-signatories, such as the USA and South Korea, to become parties to the treaty. At the first conference in 1996, Canadian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Lloyd Axworthy, launched the process which led to the ratification of the Mine Ban Treaty. 3 years ago, Richard Yim and Christian Lee co-founded Landmine Boys, a startup born out of a fourth-year University of Waterloo mechanical engineering course project. Their robot is being designed to defuse landmines without detonation or human interaction. Their company, now called D-Mine Robotics, develops a semi-autonomous machine called the Jebit that can locate, dig, and remove a landmine while keeping humans at a safe distance. You can think of it as a large lawnmower drone, the size of a ride-on, that digs up landmines instead of cutting grass. The EPP Peace Incubator Program of the Kindred Credit Union Center for Peace and Advancement at Conrad Grebel helped turn their mission into a purpose-driven business. The Center for Peace and Advancement has 6,000 square feet of space dedicated to peace scholars and practitioners from local peace-building organizations. At the Pacific Center for Discipleship Association, we are looking at ideas for a complementary Center for Peace Studies at our new Menno Hall development to be built in the University Endowment lands, inspired by a recent proposal from one of our founders, John Friesen. We're embarking on a joint venture relationship with the Mennonite Central Committee of BC's Legacy Trust to find synergies between our expanded student ministry at the gateway of the UBC campus and their goals of sharing God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ by responding to basic human needs and working for peace and justice. While many technology companies are vying for lucrative contracts, defense contracts that include the use of artificial intelligence, some of their more idealistic employees are alarmed by this. Google employees saw the company drifting from its old "don't be evil" ethos and began pointing out all the ways that AI could go wrong. This past July, Meredith Whitaker, a distinguished research scientist, left Google after 13 years to work at AI Now, a nonprofit focused on ethical questions related to technology. Christian technology workers are now faced with the potential implications of their work in new ways that should be explored together as a community of faith and geekiness. James Kelly, founder of Faith Tech, wrote in a blog article entitled "Faith Tech: Pivot from Events to Community" on October 30th, quote, "Faith Tech exists to bridge the gap between faith and technology. We help people in the tech ecosystem find community and steward their skills to glorify God. Community is where depth happens, where problems are discussed, where the messy things of life get dealt with. Additionally, community has a regular cadence in one's life. It is something where we see others often, get into one another's lives, pray and experience genuine love," unquote. I've attended several of their events in Vancouver and was impressed with their motivation and dedication to further the kingdom. My call to action will echo Matthew 3, in which John the Baptist echoes Isaiah in saying, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, bear fruit worthy of repentance." I encourage you to support the Canadian campaign at stopkillerrobots.ca. They suggest writing to your member of parliament to express your concerns and signing their petition to keep killer robots fiction, which I have signed to say, "I find the idea of machines making life or death decisions in conflict abhorrent. I call on the government of Canada to immediately prohibit the development and deployment of fully autonomous weapons in Canada and to support efforts to create a preemptive global ban on the technology." You may want to follow the campaign on Facebook or Twitter at @BanKillerRobots. Individuals involved in robotics, ethics, science, computer science, and related fields can join the International Committee for Robot Arms Control, ICRAC, and sign the Scientist's Call. I found inspiration in the words of Carol Penner from a November 2018 article in the Canadian Mennonite entitled "Pregnant with Peace," in which she wrote, quote, "Our conversations with God about peace can transform us. They can help us prepare for Jesus' arrival. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace into a world filled with violence. As a Mennonite community, we believe that we are called to follow Jesus in his choice to be nonviolent and to pursue justice, because our world is still filled with violence. Praying is part of our calling as people of peace." To set the tone for our discussion time, I will share the lyrics of the song "Lord, Help Us Live in Peace" by J.D. Martin in the form of a poetic prayer. Lord, help us live in peace. From our blindness, set us free. Fill us with your healing love. Help us live in unity. Many times we disagree or what's right or wrong to do. It's so hard to really see from the other's point of view. How we long for power and fame, seeking every earthly thing. We forget the one who came as a servant, not a king.